So, welcome to episode 25 of the Jimson and Roscoe Show. Today we are joined by someone who doesn't seem to be lacking in motivation at all. He's a professional athlete, or was. I don't know if he still is, we'll find out. He's a master in law, he's a lecturer, and the list goes on and on. Got to say, it is quite inspiring.
Author.
Costa mute.
It's Dr. Emmanuel Nati.
Emmanuel, three good things that happened to you today.
Oh, good question. Three good things happened to me today. I'm alive and I'm conscious, which is good.
Beautiful.
I can share my experience and my love with other people, and I have an opportunity to give as well. So for me, these are the three best things that has happened to me today.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Where do you want to start? So, yeah, explain a bit about yourself. Yeah, who are you, man? Because, like, yeah, you've got...
Should I say who I see you as?
Yeah, go for it.
So basically, right, I've told you so many times about what it's like working in the bar and the nightlife scene. You're plagued by people that are quite annoying and try and speak to you outside all the time. Most of the time, they're really drunk and... they can get on your nerves. Not all the time. Sometimes they're really funny. Every now and then, you have someone that comes to the club and will speak to you outside. And every time you see them, it's like, you feel like happy.
Mm.
This guy. This guy.
So Ross rang me this morning. He goes, because we're struggling, like, loads of people pulled out. He's like, we got everyone for the podcast. I've got someone. I was like, no, but like, we need more people today. Like, fell through a bit. And then he was singing your praises, man. He was like, this guy, he goes, most people, it's crazy, you get drunk, people come in to talk to you. He goes, we were talking about spirituality. I was like, do you want to come on the podcast? Like, we talk about that stuff, like, so yeah. But then he said to me this morning, he was like, what you do, like, he was like, did judo, right?
For Ghana for quite a while, but I have retired now. Yeah. I retired this year,
You still do martial arts?
I do it just for fun, you know, and just to keep fit. Sometimes I do the odd visit and teach if I can, but I'm not competing anymore. I have given up that out because I think my path in life is in another dimension. It's not in the sport anymore because things in life happen, and I believe in each age you live different consciousness in your lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so that part of my life has finished.
Yeah.
And I have to focus on something else.
Okay.
So, yeah. But I did enjoy it. It was quite good 22 years being a top level athlete. And sometimes it's difficult, it's stressful. But everything that happens to you in life prepare you for the future ahead. Mm. And I think that's what the sport did.
Did you ever go into the jiu-jitsu world, or was it still with judo?
No, I just stick with judo because I was doing it at very high level and then the Olympics level, and I've won a few World Cups and medals as well. Mm. So my focus was mainly in try to stay on the Olympics level as I can.
Yeah.
And also I was in the army at the same time, and I was doing my education at the same time. So it was kind of trying to multitask all my way through. But I think in life you don't realize how lucky you are when you've got so many things going on, and
you're still saying so that you don't know what you've got till it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think in life really the most important thing is to be grateful. Gratitude is more important.
Yeah.
Because I think every stage in your life is a gift, and it's an opportunity to make a difference. It's not an opportunity to have ownership of things and try to impose your will on other people, or try to think that the world is around you so other people should fit in your world. I don't think it's like that. So for me, I did cherish it, and I understand also that I have to move on and do other things as well.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, man. What, do you want to speak about your judo? Your judo triumphs? Like, first judoka for Ghana, right?
Yeah.
In the Olympics?
Yeah. And yeah, I think...
Because I did judo for 10 years.
Yeah.
Not at, like, your level. But I got to, like... where did I get to? I got to blue belt 4 tabs.
Mm.
And then I couldn't. I think I was 15, 16, and I couldn't beat a brown belt adult, so I couldn't get my brown belt, and I just gave up because I was just like, well, I can't really go any further at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I was young and stupid, and I was just like, no, I'll do what I want. So I left, and I didn't go back. But I have been looking at going, starting again, just for fitness and stuff.
Mm. So, wait, dear, you said about the. About practicing gratitude, is that something that was passed down to you from your parents, from your upbringing, or is that something that you've kind of gained as you've grown through life?
It's a good question. I've always been grateful for every single thing in my life since I realized that life can be very difficult, but it can be exciting at the same time at the age of 9. Because normally I came from like a really poverty environment, and that is how I started judo. Because in Ghana you have 2 sides. So if you are poor, you either become a criminal or you become like a houseboy for the rich people. Mm-hmm. And the other flip side is you can take up sports. And at that time, it's only football in Ghana that is like high level and a lot of investment. But I saw the prison officer's children doing judo in Ghana, and that is how I got into judo. But I think when I started judo, I knew at that age that it will be my way out of poverty, and it will be my way out to help my family as well. So, and everything fell into place. But I think everyone has an inner guide within them.
Yeah.
You have to listen to it, you know, if you manage to calm your mind down, you will listen to that inner version of you because it has always been present. Some people know it from the beginning when they are young. Some people, maybe a few years along the line, some people don't, and they have to come back in the next life to try to to relearn everything that they meant to learn in this lifetime. But I understand that. And that was my main motivation, you know. And what I learned as a child is that it didn't make sense at that time, but it did make sense now. That I didn't live my life. For example, when I go to tournament and I get a salary, I share it with all my family and everyone. Mm-hmm. And I saw life as a collective responsibility.
Mm.
So it's not just I accumulate something and then I keep it for myself.
Mm.
So I saw that, and that became more as a motivational factor.
Mm.
So that was what driven me, and that was what inspired me. And the gratitude and the awareness came from that.
Yeah.
Because I knew that everything that happened to me is a gift. So I'm grateful for that gift. And I'm also happy to pass it on to someone else, not to hold on to it. And once you are grateful for things in life, then the bigger door of opportunity intend to open to you. So, gratitude, I think it's something that has been part of my life since I was a child and up to this stage. I think at this age, it's more, I became conscious about things more. And I became aware about things more because as you're growing, the environment becomes stronger because you've been driven by material stuff.
Yeah.
And the material things are not the one that will give you happiness. Mm-hmm. Happiness is something that is within you. And I think the human being, they forget that they are creating their own reality rather than someone else. And that you need the awareness to detach yourself from everything that is happening around you and everything, the information that they have been bombarding you with. And when you have that awareness, then you begin to make a strategic decision that align with your purpose in life. Because I think every souls have their purpose, and your goals have to lead you to your purpose. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, people don't get it. And if you're not living your purpose, then you lack happiness because you are working against your purpose.
Yeah.
And in our age, or the 21st century, the reason why there's a lot of depression, there's a lot of anxiety and problem in life is people are working against their will.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ask someone, who are you, they'll probably tell you, I'm a male, I do this job, I have a family. Yeah. But they need to ask themselves this question, who are you really?
Yeah.
What is inside you? That is what people do not see. And fundamentally, this is the major problem confronting society at the moment.
I've recently just written a song, it's called Winter Song. Mm-hmm. And it's what you said then really resonates well with me, because the second verse in it, kind of talks now, and it's about saying how the one big thing that can cure us now is a season of scarcity shared between us lovingly. Mm-hmm. And then the last line I say on the song is, there's only one wish that I could ever wish for you. Mm-hmm. It's for you to know deep down who you really are.
Yeah.
And that's like how I ran the song. But it's then talking about the intuition as well. I'm reading a book at the moment. Yeah. It's the book you wish your parents have read and your children be thankful that you did. And in there, it's really powerful. It's like saying about how you talk to your children, and if you don't allow your children to have their feelings, you will squash their intuition.
Yeah.
So if you say to them, when they get out, when they're crying, and you're like, you're okay, they're not okay.
No.
Don't tell them they're okay. Be there and be their comfort, but don't, like, do you mean? Because you're then like squashing them, and you're telling them you're everything that they're not. Yeah. So then they're going to grow to then not trust their intuition, because you're telling them, no, you're okay. And it's it's like, boys don't cry. All these like toxic things that you're told.
It's
really detrimental. And then you have to, because I find like now, like in recent years, I'm only trying to find these things of like, it's like really like, okay, no, I need to listen to myself and not my head. Yeah. I mean, it's taken me so long to get back to it. Mm. So that's like amazing that you've like managed to foster that from a young age.
Do you think your purposes are meant to change through life as well?
Yes, because as I said, you live so so me in particular, and the things that I've been exposed, and I've exposed myself to, I don't believe in heaven and hell. I don't think they exist.
Are you religious?
Yes, I am religious.
You are.
Yeah. I don't believe in heaven and hell. I think it's something that has been doctrined into human perception, and they believe in this, and they live their life in fear because of this. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that whether you use Allah, or you call it Buddha, or you call it God, or whatever, or you call it the universe, it's an objective being, and it doesn't judge. So it's pure, unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And so in our state now, we live in like in a cocoon. So you are limited. You don't know what is going on. But your real soul that exists within you. And that thing, that objective thing, empower your real soul so that you can possess this body. And it has its purpose, which is unconditional love, to share with the world and live in harmony with everything.
Mm.
And so you have that. But along the line, because our brain is designed in a survival mode, the human have pride themselves in selfishness, so they kind of detach themselves from everything that is happening. And instead of humanity to take ownership and responsibility of what they are doing, they prefer to say that it's coming from some higher source or power. You know, and so I can say that, oh, this bad thing happened to me because maybe I've sinned against God.
Yeah.
But maybe it's your mental state, this is creating this frequency, because we are the subjective being, we have the objective being. Objective being is just an observer endorsing what you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can choose to go and murder somebody. It's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be accountable for every single deed and action and thought that you have done in this life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, I believe you have to come back to relearn that lesson, because every source has a destiny and purpose that they have achieved. And I believe eventually when you reach your highest days, then you fade out of existence. And so this is why I don't believe in like there is heaven and hell or God punish you. I believe we create our own reality by our thought and the frequency that we project. Because as you were saying, it's an emotion. Emotion is a way to talk to you to understand what is right and what is wrong. Because, example, when we are young, they said big boys don't cry. It's absolute nonsense. If you have this emotion built inside you, it becomes a problem because you don't know how to express yourself.
Yeah.
But it is okay to cry. It is okay not to be okay. It's okay to speak up. Because with this, you were learning to express yourself whilst you're talking, all your emotion and everything is going. Just for example, if you're angry about someone and your friend asks you about it, look at the way the energy you used to express yourself. Mm. You are channeling this anger and everything outside. Mm-hmm. And when this comes outside, you are liberating this energy out of your body. Mm. But when we are told that big boys don't cry, we accumulate everything inside us.
Yeah.
And then we begin to live in high state all the time. And this in turn also creates a disease for yourself. Mm. But we don't know because we have been programmed to believe in a hardcore society that, you know, showing emotion is like athletes. They say showing emotion is so bad because it's weakness. And then you take this into your private life and then it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
So I think the human race have lost a bit. They are aware of it, and this is very, very sad because the reason why everyone is here is to experience love in the physical body, mm-hmm. but we have tended to be material, mm-hmm. accumulation. It doesn't matter if I destroy you, as long as I am happy, mm-hmm. it is okay. But this is not okay,
no.
because everything else is connected. There is nothing. So this is what I don't understand about racism. I don't understand about discrimination because when you leave the human body, there is no male or female, there's no black and white. Yeah, it's just a soul that exists, which is an energy and it's a frequency. So why can't you replicate that in the human body? Mm. Why can't you just respect your fellow human and live in harmony as you meant to do?
Yeah.
Why can't you do that? And we do struggle to do this.
I've never thought about it like that.
I think that until things like racism are stopped, I don't think, there can be peace. These are important things that need to be. How can you have shared resources, shared equality, whilst these things are still alive and within institutions, within people? Mm-hmm. They're massively important things that need addressing.
Yeah.
Mm. How we do it.
Yeah, that's the tricky one. But I think there is changes. I think there's a generation coming through, and those generation will be very rebel and they will go against the established system because it does not serve any purpose. And there's a reason why they are creating those generation in order to shift the consciousness of humans to more loving and harmony, because I think it's missing. Today, it's easy to preach hatred and get a lot of followers than to preach harmony and get a lot of followers. People don't want to know. Mm. And that is not the problem. Until the world address the hatred size, then there will never be any peace. Because the hatred and the scared is what is fueling this to happen.
Yeah.
So it's like, when you need a lot of dots put together and then connect them for something to happen, and it's like electric circuit as well. When you connect all the wire and the dot together, you power it up, you get electric current through all of them. And it's the same thing with the problems in life. If you have a lot of negative thought and negative projection that have a frequency, if automatically they align, you have a problem in your physical world because your brain and everything, they work on frequency. Mm. So where does the frequency comes from? It's come from somewhere else. And that thing is the... So it's like living in the shadow. Mm. So we are basically the projection of the shadows. Mm. Now, the shadow relies on us in order to make a decision, and we rely on the shadow also to make a decision. Mm. So what we tell the shadow, that's what we project. So you live... Basically, you live your own life, but we don't understand this. And that's the problem. And I think if we understand this, the world will be a better place, because you know that your thought and your action affect mine.
Yeah.
So then I need to behave in a way that my thought and my action will be reflective on your motivation.
Mm-hmm. The same as that, like, if you've got kids, they say, if you want to know what you are like, look at your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are very close projections, and they pick up on your own intuition more than most.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, now there's like a sort of like, because in the 60s, like, when looking back on the 60s, there was kind of like a massive cultural shift of like of like people not wanting to go to war in America, not wanting to fight, and there was a whole movement, the hippie movement.
The hippies, isn't it? Yeah.
Do you think that's kind of like happening, a resurgence of that now, but on a bigger scale with the technology we've got connecting people? Whilst there is a lot of division, do you think that this is also rupturing up beside it of humans coming together to?
Yeah, I think, you know, like, so when people talk, I'll give you the harsh example is the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the Second World War, there was so many discrimination, so many division going on. There is no human rights.
Mm-hmm.
It's after the Second World War. Now, when you look at the human being, the way they are and the way they are far from their own purpose, it would take thousands of years for human rights to come along so that you can have your right, you can enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
And if things like this happen, then there has to be something explosive happening in the human existence that shift the whole paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
So then the new... So basically, in order for something new to happen, there has to be a bomb that destroy everything and then they create it.
Yeah.
And I think also, in relation to your question, what has happened is we've been sleepwalking for a long time and there is a problem that we are not addressing. So all the things that is happening, I believe, will force something and then something bad will happen and all human beings will be like, okay, no, we have to change.
Mm.
And then there will be another dimension. But I don't think that it's always a bad... I don't think bad thing has to happen for people to change.
Mm.
But we choose to live like that because we like this and fuel this kind of behavior and then it happens, you know. For example, human being, we know that if we are living on a stressful level, if we are living an emotional state that is unstable, we know that it creates disease, we know that it could create cancer, we know that it creates all the problems that can kill you. We know about this, but we don't do it. Some people can hold so much emotion, and when you ask them, why are you in a bad mood? Oh, 4 weeks ago, this person did blah, 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 blah to me.
Yeah.
But you have changed. Your cells in your body change every single time.
Mm.
So effectively, even though the rapid changes of it, you don't see it, doesn't mean you're not a new person tomorrow.
Mm.
So why do you carry the baggage of the past to the future?
Mm.
So basically, you are like, I'm going to sabotage myself because my future is not important.
Mm.
And that's how people live. And I don't think it's the healthy way to live. And sometimes also I think religion is not doing much good anymore, because what have happened is the foundation of religion was very good, but over the generation it has been diluted and it has been interpreted and now...
institutionalized?
Yeah, and it has lost its significance. So the core aspect of religion, normally, is just unconditional love and harmony. That is it.
I think it's lost a lot of its spirituality side of things as well.
They want the dogma, not the God.
It's quite sad because, you know, I always say, whether you're a Muslim, you are Buddha, every single thing points to one direction.
Mm.
So whether you think your God is black or white, immediately you lose your last breath, it's pointless.
Yeah.
You know the truth that there's only one person that exists,
mm-hmm.
not a person, but one being that exists. So, and then when you look at the scriptures, how it is written, the Sanskrit, how it's written, the Quran, how it's written, they are all saying the same thing, but in a different context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why do you think your path is better than someone else's path?
Mm.
The reason why they have all the different paths is to learn to tolerate each other.
Mm.
It's not learn to say that because you are not Muslim, I hate you, or because you are Buddhism, I don't like you. It's just to learn to tolerate each other.
Mm.
Someone asked me, so if this in the Bible that God is against homophobia. Why does God create homophobia? I said, because it's your duty to work and accept people for who they are. Yeah. That is why that is there. Yeah. It's not you to judge someone. Just accept them and love them for who they are.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't question. You can't say that is God is bad. Mm. Because you need to learn something. And if you can't tolerate someone being homophobic, then you have a problem with yourself. Mm. It's not about God. Mm. You know? So it's the way the scripture has been twisted and everything has been twisted and for their own self subjective view rather than the objective view of the divine. And and this is the major problem. And I think also there's a difference between being spiritual and religion.
Yeah.
They are completely different. And I also think that the truth that people are looking for is everywhere.
Mm.
And the truth they are searching for is also searching for them. If only they look within themselves, they can find the truth.
Mm.
Because the God is not outside. Mm. It's within everyone. Because that's what gives you life.
Mm.
So, I think, but I think in the few generations will be more spiritual than more religious identity. Yeah. I think it's very...
Do you think that can be changed? Do you think, like, we can go back to... because I remember growing up, like, loads of my friends used to go to church every Sunday. I don't know anyone. Like, people claim they're Christians, but I don't know anyone that goes to church every Sunday anymore.
With that, though, it's I think that's also not a loss of religion. I also think that's a loss of community.
Mm.
Yeah.
I that's one thing I'm noticing, community. There's people are living such fragmented lives.
Mm.
And there's no sense of community of like everyone going out on the block or whatever and like community days and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's not, it's all keeping up with the Joneses or like everyone's got their own very fragmented small families where it's like, well, no, like if you look at like, if you look at like a Jewish community, for example, Jewish communities are very, very strong when they come together because they all have to live. I think there's something that they're practicing Jews, they must live within certain distance of the synagogue that they practice at, right, and stuff like that. And they all go out and they all go there and there's like there's this whole heavily sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing that's lacking, or that's one good thing that religion does bring is community.
Mm-hmm.
And for, I think, the problem that we're having as well is putting too much central power into these big states, governments. It's like, there needs to be more empowerment within small communities and small communities that can coincide and get along with each other. And so yeah, there's that as well. There's a loss of.
I think the best way forward for religion is acceptance and empowerment. You know, they need to accept that there is individualism and there is different people. But ultimately, they are all one person, and they also need to empower people to understand who they are, because I don't necessarily think that going to Sunday every day will make me a better person.
Mm.
But if I can practice the truth that I find within myself, I'll be a better person. So they need to give the power back to the people to understand who they are, because if you really deep down understand who you are, trust me, you would think twice before you hurt someone because you know that one day you'll be accountable for your deed and your thought. Mm. And symbolically speaking, when you go through hell, you understand the significant impact of that. You'll not do it.
Yeah.
But you need that empowerment, that awareness. And, you know, and this is why sometimes the people who practice meditation have got it so right that they are able to observe themselves, their thought and their action, and they can then identify the patterns of their behavior and begin to change it. Because your brain is just accumulation of memories, let's be honest, you know, and accumulated of all sort of nonsense throughout your lifetime and things that you have learned. If you have learned that, you can still unlearn them, know.
Yeah.
But you need the tools to do that. And I think it's also difficult when you live in a commercial world where you have to work all the time. You know, you have to do this, you have to meet deadline, you have to meet target. has become difficult. Maybe when I get up at 7, I'm not going to switch my computer on until I did my, I've done my 2 hours meditation in order to clear the way so that I can think clearly, what am I going to do today and how to react, you know. Occasionally, you get caught up, someone at work will get on your nerve, occasionally, but in life, I always think we are just solving a puzzle which we never find the answer. Forget it. You know, people think, you know, you find an answer. If you find the answer, why are you here? You must well be God. I don't think you find, or your creator or whatever you refer to, but I don't think you're meant to find the answer, but you're meant to learn valuable lessons here. So it's more about how you react to situation, you know? Someone will, excuse me, will get on your nerve, but you can react it in a nice way that it will not bother you after 3 days, you know? Or you can react aggressively and your whole day is messed up, you know? And then because you react aggressively, you're trying to get somewhere after work, then there's a traffic jam because the road is broke or there's an accident on the road. You get to buy to the shop to buy, and then the lady said the counter, the checkout is broken. When you look back, you just ask yourself, what causes this? Perhaps it's that anger that has drawn all those negative energy along the way. It causes you to waste time in the traffic, and then it causes you to have a problem at the counter.
I think as well, with those sorts of things, if you didn't let that person at work get to you, you wouldn't have even found those things annoying.
Do
you know what I mean?
It's what you get, like what you're focusing on.
What you're focusing on. It's like
whatever you're paying attention to is what you will see more of. If you're in tune with it. Do you know what I mean? If you're in tune with... And like you were saying about being in tune with yourself, so I've been practicing meditation for about 6 years now, and it's only sort of like the last maybe year or so that I've really noticed the effects in everyday life, where it's like it's now trickling into moments of not allowing things to run away with me. It's like, oh no, being like, okay, and observing it, witnessing it, and letting it go. It's, I think that like that as well, like it should be taught more to young people. Like I remember reading once that there was a school in America, and they were, instead of giving kids detentions with writing lines and stuff like that, they were making them meditate or putting them in meditation after school. It's like, stay behind, you sit, meditate, sit down in silence, think about what you've done. And they were saying, like, what it was doing for these children was, like, amazing. Do you know what I mean? Like, rather than, like, punish them, you're bad, don't do this, write this on the wall. It's like, no, okay, let's sit, let's think, let's reflect. Powerful, man. Do you know what I mean? It's, if that can like so what about, because you're a doctor, right?
So philosophy doctor, not a medical doctor. I did my PhD in international law and human rights. I was doing it whilst I was doing my education at the same time. Then I kind of got bored, went back to do master's in science because why not? If you get given a scholarship, you might as well. Then I did that, but I think my spiritual aspect kicked in when my sister died last year, because I went into what I call the dark soul moment, you know, when you can, like people who experience grief, they will know this, like you exist, but you feel like you're not existing. You feel like your soul is actually, you are empty vessel, you know,
like a shell.
You don't eat for days, you know, you don't feel hungry, everything is tasteless. And then you begin to question the existence, the whole existence. And if you're a Christian, you begin to question God, you know, because that's what you believe in. And you've been doctrined to also believe that the universe is a personal universe. So if I believe in God, God shouldn't harm me. But no, the universe is impersonal universe. And so I have that old view, and I begin to question, and I curse God if I can, because it was rough and it was hard, because my sister, she was quite a nice soul as well. And she died so young with cancer, and it doesn't make sense, you know. And so I think then that awakening moment happened, and I realized that it's an impersonal universe. Mm. It's not about anyone. You are here playing a part, of course, but that piece of a tiny, like when you go to the seaside, you see the sun, it's hard for you to count the sun, right? Mm. But the little tiny sun could be you, but it's still important. Mm. If you are not part of it, the whole thing is not whole. Mm. So you are still in part of it, and it's very important. But it's not about you.
Mm.
It's about everything else.
Mm.
And I also begin to realize that every souls have their journey. You know, even a baby may come and then after 2 months died, but that baby choose that parent for a purpose,
mm.
to teach them something.
Mm.
And it's up to them to find out what it is. But because we are so soaked up to this life, we forget the bigger picture. Mm. We forget the lesson that that person is teaching us. Because we don't know, maybe that person make that commitment that I'm coming here for 28 days, for 28 years, this is how I'll go, and this is what must happen.
Mm.
So it's up to us to make sense out of it. So I begin to realize, okay, so what is the legacy of this girl? What is her purpose? Because she achieved nothing, you know? Then I was walking on the beach, and then I said, okay, Marinette Foundation. That's just thought that came to my mind. I said, Marinette Foundation. And I called my brother and said, this will be the legacy of my sister. So after a few months, I created a foundation for her. Mm-hmm. And then so the foundation is in Ghana is to help educate women about fibrosis and liver cancer, how significant that program will be. If the medical awareness is not there, and so also to provide free screening for women so that they can resolve this issue. So I created this. Then when it started in Ghana, I found that there's more problem with everyone, including the men as well.
Yeah.
So I opened the whole foundation for an inclusive, just not just for women. Then this year I realized that was Mary's purpose in life,
yeah.
that she has to go like this so that the 100, I think we've helped over 1,000 people now, so that those 1,000 people may gain their health.
Yeah.
Because for them to have their health, she has to go.
Yeah.
And she has to sacrifice, and that's her purpose. I believe that was her purpose. And if that does not happen, I wouldn't be so hurt to go into my dark mood, to feel lonely and lost.
Mm.
I wouldn't be in that situation to be exposed to the light and said, okay, this is the way it goes, you know? So I was religious, but to become spiritual, I think it's more about last year when my sister died, and that moment leads to the next stage of my life.
Yeah.
And I always say everyone has it, you know? It's you have to... You kind of have to retreat. You know, some people do it naturally. They can retreat from the physical world and go within themselves, and then they find themselves. Some people, unfortunately, something bad has to happen to them.
Yeah.
And then it shake up their whole life and the meaning of their life, and then they change. And I think after the death of Mary, I begin to realize what we think is life is actually not.
Mm.
Or we think we consume this, we accumulate this, we do. I think it's actually, I realize it's not at all. So, and I now understand we've been told the biggest lie in life that we are just a single person. We have to give birth to you, you live your life, and you die. Mm. I found out it's the biggest lie I've been told, and we know. We are dimensional beings in living a dimensional life.
Mm.
So, you come here to do something, and of... When you're done, you have to go back and you have to give an account of what you've done. So that's not punishment. So the Christian will say that, you know, you go, there's someone with a white beard sitting on a judge to judge. It's not like that. You will have a review of your life and you'll be pointed what you've done and your previous life also before you came, what you've done and how you've done better and then your next assignment, whether you choose. But what is true, fundamentally true, is that you never come back in the same body. You know, so you can come back in a different body.
So you do you follow much on like the past life regression type thing? Is that
I have the Dolores
Cannon?
I don't know.
So she's does a lot on this, like past life regression. Mm. She does a lot of like trying to get into the depths of what you were in past life. It's really interesting.
Mm.
And there was one, and she was like saying to this woman, had it worked out that in a previous life that she'd lost. Mm. So they do it under under hypnotism, and then they'd use it on tape to record what the subconscious mind's saying. And they're saying from a previous life, it was a woman, she reckons it was medieval times.
Mm.
And they were soldiers were coming through and they were raping and pillaging.
Mm.
And she had a one-year-old baby. And she put the baby on the other side of the street in the archway. This is what she come out of under hypnotism. She put the baby on the other side of the street in the archway. And then she hid on the other side in hopes that they wouldn't find the baby. And she said that was actually the worst thing she could do because she had watched her baby get slaughtered before they then came and raped and slaughtered her, when she could have held the baby and been slaughtered together. She actually let the baby die alone. And she said that is why. And then she worked out from that is what her path is, because her fear of life now is that is why she always like she's so needy and these things of what she is, because it's, she's trying to repent for that, well, or trying to get that, but she's never had a chance to let that go, and she's trying to repent for that.
Wow. Yeah,
it's interesting, man.
Yeah, it is. I think you could do that also if you manage to get yourself into your brain into the gamma wave and into really, really deep meditation. I think you can type into that, and because there's always beings around us, it's about you asking for help. So you can type into that, and that awareness will open. But sometimes also not everyone is ready for that, because it can mess you up when you come back, because everything doesn't make sense, and you know, it's different from what you've been told. Yeah. So you have to live your life as you know it. And the love that you feel is never the same, because you're always at peace. You know, like when people say that, oh, the dead are suffering. No.
Mm.
They are at peace more than the living, because that is the only time you experience unconditional love.
Yeah.
In life, we love with condition. You know, and you can see this even when relationship break down, they become enemies. That is not love. That is conditioned love. You love with condition. I love you because you do something. And if that is not there, I hate you for it. That is not love. You know, I always say that if you truly love someone and they hate you and you split up, you always wish them luck. You don't build some resentment against them or try to destroy them or something. You just move on. And that is true love. But you don't see it these days. So in this physical body, it's only few people understand unconditional love. But when you transcend, you do see this. And I always say that, why should you come back to this mess? You know? So the dead are always at peace, I believe. And they experience the highest state of living and being life. And that's why I think death is just existent in another dimension rather than, you know, people think. And the dead also are more aware of everything because of the highest consciousness. You are connected to everything. So if you wanted to think about your loss, you can think about them and you're connected to them because that is how the consciousness work. And sometimes when you get to that stage, you will know who you were in your previous life, and you will know also your purpose in this life. But you have to be very attentive, because you'll be seeing different person and you know, or you'll be seeing someone else in a different place at a different time, or doing something different. But you have to be very attentive. That person is you. You know, and so it does exist, and you can't get that doing deep meditation as well.
Do you are you an advocate of psychedelics?
Not really. I don't go into those things as such. But I, at the moment, I'm trying to prove. So I'm writing a book at the moment, trying to say that Einstein MC square is incomplete. Mm. So I'm trying to prove that what humans have been looking for has always existed and always been present, and what they've been looking for has been emanating itself in everything. Mm-hmm. And if so it is, I think all of us have some force behind us. Mm-hmm. And I think that force, everyone can find it. It's up to them. And this, I believe, is more down to the free will. So you can be given an assignment and say that, okay, your purpose now at this stage of your life, you pass through every different stages and you have to learn from this. And at this stage of life, you have to start creating a podcast so that you can educate people. So that when this message goes up, some people will learn from mm-hmm. it and some people will better themselves. That is your path. Mm-hmm. So you have this thing going on and it's up to you to identify it. But when you're in a physical body also, you can say, screw everything. Mm. I go and do my own thing. Mm. You have the free will. It's only yeah. human being has been given a free will to make a decision by themselves. Mm-hmm. And they can do this. And so I think that for us as humans or in as a being in a physical body, we owe it to ourselves to make the right decision. And with this, I think everyone has the power to do it. So I don't, like at the same time, I don't believe also like having a guru to say this. I believe that you go out there and search for the truth yourself and you can find the truth yourself. If not, look at the bad patterns of things that are happening in your life and then change from that. Because if you have a consistent pattern of things happening to you, it means you are not learning. Mm. Because anything that happened to you, you have to learn from it. Mm-hmm. When you learn from it, you progress. Mm. But if you don't learn from it, that thing will stay coming to you.
Yeah.
And I think this is our own ultimate decision.
It's what they say it's the definition of insanity, isn't it? They say repeating the same things.
Yeah.
What is it? Repeat the same thing over and over, expecting different results.
Yeah, doing the same thing over and over again, you shouldn't expect different results because the result will be same. So I think it's quite interesting, but now there's more teaching going on and trying to explain to people, trying to empower people to make an informed decision. Yeah. And also there is more going on that people are now beginning to understand that, you know, the materialism stuff really does not work. There is more to life than just us, and this is what I recognize as well. And when I'm giving, I'm more happier than, you know, seeing the accumulative of money in your account. And I think that might be our purpose. Mm. And that might be the joy we get from living, you know. And I think this joy we have to cherish, because And Mary taught me this. We live in a world that we so believe we have time. Mm. We live in the world that we so believe that, you know, we can do this. Everything is about us. It's not about the moment. It's about the future. And you forget to live for the moment. Mm. Because every second a miracle happens, an accident happens, right? So nothing is guaranteed. The past is gone. The future is not guaranteed because you and I don't know.
Yeah.
We have a perceived view that tomorrow we will do this, we'll go to work. Mm-hmm. But within a second, something can happen, right? So we have to live in the moment and create from the moment, because that is how it is. Because in the universe, there is nothing like a past, present, or future. Everything exists in now. Mm-hmm. But here, of course, we live in space and time.
Yeah.
So everything is constrained by space and time. That is not how you need to live. You need to live in the moment and then have some sort of gratitude and believe and hope that something better will come.
Mm.
You know, and there was one, I was watching a movie and a couple of days ago, and this person died, and then this person her past relative, and she asked them, where were you when I was suffering? And they said, we've been here, but you don't listen. You know? So and I was trying to relate it to him, and so I was like, pretty much it's about that. They are there. People are there to guide, beings are there to guide you, but you're so craving for the material stuff.
Yeah.
And you don't hear it, and you don't really
listen. Going back to similar to what you're saying about the vibration thing, so I think if you're like, your higher self, if you to call it that, I think the lower vibration, I think it's like turning down a dial of, like, you know, you're on a radio, and the frequency you're tuned into, the more you're going lower, you're more out of tune with your higher self. Yeah. So the more the voices are gone, and you're not listening to the voices, you're not listening to, or the voices are inside or higher, wherever you want, however you
perceive
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
The more you turn down that dial, it's
and
then you're tuning into the news, or you're tuning into like whatever fear is being peddled or whatever. Yeah. And do you mean it's the same thing? Whether you're looking at it out there or in here, is that your shadow telling you your fear, or whether it's the front page of the newspaper telling you the peddling their fear? It's
exactly yeah. That's quite sad though, isn't it? As a society, I think the care, the way everything has been created, I think it's has been created in such a way to distract you from your higher self. You know, because to tune to your higher self, as you say, you have to type into that frequency.
Yeah.
And at the moment, the world is on a very low frequency. You know, that's why we have so many bad things happening. If you're on a high level frequency, you live with gratitude, goodwill, unconditional love, and empathy, and also compassionate. Because you can relate to yourself when you do something for someone genuinely from your heart, and you feel compassionate about this. Go home and just look at yourself, how you feel energized, because you're like, yeah, I did this, yeah, I did that. It's true. Different, you know, and the chemicals in your brain also produce different things because of this love and the energy you felt, you know. And that's the higher vibration, you know. The lower vibration is more guilt, selfishness, and all those kind of things.
Greed.
Greed as well. So it's quite interesting, but I think humans have always found a ways for somehow to maneuver their way, you know, and hopefully the few generation, the next generation, will find a way to change how things are, because I don't think the world will come to an end, but I think humans, with their thought and their behavior, will destroy it.
Yeah.
So there will be no one that coming in and said, I destroyed the world. But I think the human being with their collective behavior can destroy the world.
Yeah.
So basically they will destroy themselves, and no one will do that for them, you know. And that is why I think there has to be a change.
Yeah. I think it's, I was watching a documentary over there. It was David Attenborough, and he had a scientist on there, and he was talking about the 9 tipping points of the globe at the moment with the climate crisis. And you're saying that we've already gone beyond on 2 tipping points. So these are what we've got left, and this is what we can do. It's empowering the people to be able to make the changes. And it's tough. If you've got people living in extreme poverty, they're not going to be worrying about whether their food is sustainable, whether their energy is sustainable. They've got more things to worry about, where the next meal is going to come from. It's tough. It's going to be challenging. I do have a glimmer of hope. I am hopeful that we are going to pull through this, and we are going to grow, and we are going to... But I think something radical is brewing, and something radical is going to happen before.
But this is the thing, though. I don't think they have to wait till that, because I don't think they have to. If they don't, something will happen. There's a force will step in, and massive disaster will happen, and it will reset the whole clock, and they have to start from. But and again, when you look at it in that context as well, there's nothing wrong with that, because so we cherish this life because we have taken this life as it's all we got.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you are a being, for example, and you understand that this is not just a life, this is like a vacation and there's a better life somewhere else. It doesn't matter when everything is destroyed to reset. You know, so it's easy for them to make that decision. But for us, it's more like a disaster. But you realize that any time that there is something bad that happens, you see the collective force of the human soul, it changes, and they begin to come together to do something. And sometimes this is what we need, you know.
Collective myth.
There is...
True leader is born in times of hardship, so to truly lead is...
There's a scientific... This is not a spiritualism, but there was a scientific study that shows that when the two planes hit the World Trade Center, the world magnetic shifted. So, and the scientists were studying why there was a shift for 0.1. And they realized that because the whole world was crying at that time, that emotional force alone forced the magnetic to shift.
That's bad.
That shows you how powerful the human consciousness is, you know. But we don't realize this. We prefer to work against each other because then
and
someone
that's
think
collectively, I guess.
Yeah, that's collective.
That's not obviously like one person.
Well, they did you? So it was Brett Weinstein was talking about collective consciousness versus personal consciousness. And he was saying personal consciousness, your thoughts are what was once a collective consciousness, but you've developed this as well. So that was always, you'd be in tune with your fellow people and it'd be the collective consciousness of you speaking to Jerry. Because you've evolved and now you're having, so these voices you hear in your head is the collective consciousness of your,
That's like,
wow, that's really interesting. And he was also saying, he goes, if you go back far enough, he goes, you look in the forest, he goes, and you go back far enough, he goes, you, these are all your ancestors.
The mushrooms.
The tree is your ancestor. Yeah, it's all part of the, it's the same thing.
It is. When you cut the trees off, it affects the planet. Where are you getting your oxygen from? You know, it the tree has to recycle it and pump it up. And it's true, the tree talk to each other. You know, people, you say this and people are like, oh, are you going crazy? They do. It seems like in the ocean, you got so many stuff, trees, animals, everything under the ocean. And they are contributing to our existence. You take them out, we will suffer. Kill majority of the shark, you have a problem because they are there to balance their whole life under the ocean.
And it's the same with the forest.
Do you look at the jellyfish?
Yeah.
I said, the reason we've got so many jellyfish is because we've taken out so many predators that used to eat the jellyfish. Well, you've got so many jellyfish, it's like, well, there's nothing eating the jellyfish. So,
Are we looking for time, Costa?
2 minutes.
Because I got a feeling that our last question that we ask all of our guests might take some time to go through. So, Manny, what's your personal meaning of life?
I think my personal meaning of life is to inspire and help others. I think that's my journey. My journey is not to accumulate anything. I think also that's why I was born in extreme poverty, to live every single part of life. So when now that I got to where I am now, I understand what it means being poverty, and I understand what it means to not having money to seek for medical advice. And then it made me realize that actually my entire purpose has to inspire others, help others to find their own way to their true self. And for me, that is the meaning of life, but it's not my achievement. And honestly, I never count my achievement unless someone is talking to me. And they said, most of the time they read my biography or they research me before they talk to me, because I don't talk to them about myself. And then when people say that, I'll be like, but I didn't realize I've done so much. You know? So
you're too humble, man. But that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
It's a good thing.
But so I think the audience, what they need to take, they need to practice unconditional love, I think. And they need to live with compassion.
Friends,
you ruined such a beautiful statement.
I know,
at the end.
Man. It's off.
Yeah. So yeah, I think practice unconditional love and have a compassion for other people, and help people as you can, and be aware of your thoughts, your deeds, and your action, because you will know how it feels when this is done, because it's this, not just the life. I think.
Beautiful.
I think that wraps it up nicely, man. Yeah. That was episode 25 of the Jimson and Roscoe Show with, say your name, Doctor.
Dr. Nate. I always prefer people to call me Manny.
Manny.
Manny. Thank you.
Got Manny.